Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, Annabelle.
Hello.
Have you noticed anything different?
Have you had a haircut? New glasses?
I have had a haircut, as it happens,
okay.
But that wasn't the different thing. The different thing was I'm using a different coloured mouse today for my computer.
Why would I notice that? Come on.
Oh, Annabelle, something humiliating happened.
Go on.
I had to do a work call that had an element of pitching for business.
Okay.
So I wanted to seem impressive to the person on the other end of the Zoom.
Right.
So what I did was, you'll see the shelf up there, I arranged my various awards so that they were discreetly in the background of the call.
Right.
Usually that shelf has got like a stylophone and a ukulele and a bunch of crap. But as you can see, some awards are on display at the moment.
Yeah.
After I'd finished doing it, 1 minute before the call was due to start, one fell out and smashed my other mouse.
Oh, no. Oh, it did.
Fell off the shelf, smashed it. That doesn't work anymore.
Oh.
And I had to spend £100 on a new mouse.
Pride comes before a fall.
Literally. It literally came before a fall. So there was that, and I didn't get the work either.
Oh, wow. Yep. This is so bad.
Another bad thing that happened is it's half term at the moment, and the teenager next door, who I just want to say off the bat is a very nice young man.
Okay.
Has been enjoying his music at an increased volume level.
During the day, is this?
During the day, yeah.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Is it?
But annoying.
Yeah, very.
I think when I was a teenager, I probably had my music on quite loud without thinking about anybody else. But it is annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially given that he's listened to it in his bedroom.
Mm.
And I'm in my bedroom a lot of the time with the duvet over my head. Things aren't going great at the minute.
Okay.
So,
and what music is he playing?
I couldn't name it.
You don't know. Okay, young person's music.
But it's very rhythmic.
Rhythmic, you say?
Yeah.
Okay, it's got a rhythm.
There's a lot of beat. Well, this is the thing. There are a lot of beats going on and a lot of bass as well.
Mm.
So I thought what I could do is play some music really loud. And then he will get the hint,
right,
that he should perhaps turn his music down.
It's a technique.
But then, so what I did was I turned my Sonos speaker to face the wall. And then I thought, well, if I'm listening to, what I don't want is for just his music to drown mine out and it just becomes a big muddle of bass music. So I thought, what is going to be annoying to a teenager and be more treble than bass?
Okay.
Don't know what I came up with?
Go on.
Yodeling.
Extremely annoying to anybody,
it was
surely.
Great. Well, as it turned out, it was quite annoying to Sarah, who was downstairs doing some work.
Where did you find it? Did you just Google yodeling?
Went on Spotify,
oh,
yeah.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Like Austria's finest yodeler.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It got through about four tracks before he turned his music down.
But it worked.
Unless he just liked it so much that he turned his own music off to enjoy the yodeling.
And now he's going to start playing it all the time, which would be a spectacular backfire.
It really made me feel old.
Mm.
turning on yodeling music to annoy a teenager.
Yes, the equivalent of turning on classical music very loud to disperse some yeast. Wasn't that happen at a shopping centre?
I had to call you this week and apologise.
Did you?
Do you not remember?
No.
I called you because a few weeks ago we were talking about the Great British Bake Off amongst ourselves, not on the podcast.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you were going through the contestants.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Lottie.
Yeah.
I said, oh, I don't like her. And I used a phrase that my mum often uses.
Yeah.
Which my mum, if she thinks somebody is a bit full of themselves, she describes them as being, I love me, who do you love?
I love that expression. I use that now because I love it. Yeah.
Oh, she's a bit, I love me, who do you love?
Yeah.
So I felt that Lottie was a bit, I love me, who do you love? And I felt that she was very cocky in her interactions with Noel Fielding.
Yeah. You said all this.
And you look quite crestfallen.
Yes, because she is my absolute favourite. But I don't think I even really... I was like, oh, yeah. But I was thinking, I love her. Mm. What's wrong with me? I love her.
Well, I've changed my mind. I think
so relieved.
I think she's fine.
I was really doubting myself. I thought, I've got her so wrong.
I mean, I do think I'm a better judge of character than you are, okay. Just generally speaking.
Let that pass.
But I also think I'm a bit harsher with my judgments of people than you are as well.
Maybe.
Anyway, I've done a U-turn on Lottie.
Good.
Yeah.
Glad to hear it.
Tell you who I miss, the flautist.
The flautist. Oh, I loved him.
Yeah, he was great. He was great. What else? So I'm still off Twitter.
Okay.
For my mental health. Mm-hmm. Although, as I mentioned or alluded to, I am sort of in the midst of a sort of terrible depression and can't help but thinking maybe it'd be better if I went back on Twitter.
Distract the mind
for
many hours a day.
Maybe Instagram isn't doing the job. Because I've let Facebook creep in a little bit, just like personal Facebook.
Okay.
Seen a couple of things on there. One is my mum, my friend's mum today. Did you see there was a story that went round that it looked like Woolworths was going to reopen?
Yes, but it's not.
And then it turned out to be a hoax.
Yes, I did see that, yeah. Yeah, I love that kind of hoax. Kind of a low-grade hoax. It's not like, you know, aliens are landing. It's like Woolworths is reopening. Yeah.
So I noticed my friend's mum posted, like, she posted a link to the story and wrote, oh, I do hope so. I'd love for my granddaughter to experience it like my daughter did.
Right.
And I thought, it's Woolworths, not like a steam train or Disneyland. It's Woolworths.
It's just Woolworths.
It's a shop selling the same crap as other shops sell.
I mean, it is quite fun, the pick and mix, but you can get pick and mix in like lots of places.
Well, you can't because of COVID, actually, Annabelle.
Oh, really?
I don't think so.
Well, I haven't tried.
Yeah, but...
about 15 years.
Yeah, but Woolworths wasn't the only outlet. The cinema also has pick and mix.
Yeah.
When things return to normal. And then the other thing is, I note I'm in a Macclesfield group. It's called Macclesfield Memories.
Nice. Is it because you want someone to post a memory of you and you're holding out?
Well, my sister posted in it.
Oh, did she?
I saw her post. Hi, everyone. My mum and dad are now live in Wales. They're from Macclesfield. They now live in Wales and they haven't been able to go out of the house for months because of... COVID and they both have underlying health issues and they're both big fans of nostalgia. I thought, my dad is not a big fan of nostalgia.
Right.
And my mum, I think she can take it or leave it.
Okay. She just likes Poirot as far as I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All Creatures Great and Small.
Yes, yeah.
So my sister basically asked people in this group, had they ever heard of my parents? And if so, can you post memories of them?
Okay.
Now, from doing the radio show, I could see what was about to unfold here.
Right.
Because you ask a large group of people for something, unless you're extremely... unless you've taught them to reply in a creative way, what you're going to get back is not very good.
Oh, in terms of quality of memory, are we saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So... most of it was people saying, no, don't remember them, never heard of them.
Okay, that's nice. I'm sure that'd be nice to hear.
And then there's the odd one saying, yeah, I remember Jeff. My dad's name's also Jeff. I remember Jeff, he worked at the post office. Or
Literally just that. Okay, yeah.
Or Rita worked at the hospital with my sister.
nothing more.
And my sister in her opening post said, I'd like to collect these into a memory book.
Oh.
Can you imagine what that memory book would read like? Yeah. I remember him. He worked at the post office. They're really going to be basking in that nostalgia. Oh. So I think it was a nice, it was well-intentioned. It was a nice idea.
But
ultimately quite underwhelming.
Mm.
Anyway, so I was back in that group earlier today. I noticed somebody had posted a whole separate thread.
Right.
Does anyone remember the sex shop on Chestergate, the private shop?
Right.
Loads of people had replied with their memories of it.
Oh, no, like full memories.
Yeah.
The sex shop gets everything. Oh.
So it's like the adult shop is far more fondly remembered in that town than my parents who lived there for 50 odd years.
Slightly heartbreaking.
My mum worked in a hospital.
Yeah.
Like saving people's lives.
Yeah.
Nobody had anything to say about that. But lots of people had memories of buying dirty magazines or latex French maid costumes. Says a lot about life, doesn't it?
It does. It says everything, to be honest.
What's prioritised and how you'll end up being remembered. Right, let's hear from some of these drifters then. What have they got to say?
This one is from Lee. I would like to pre-warn you that it does finish with what I will call a sexual swear word.
Not just you, but Simon Bates, of course, as well.
Of course, which I will not be repeating because it's absolutely filthy. Those words won't pass my lips. So I will be replacing it with the word whisker.
Okay. And you can't give us a clue what it would rhyme with.
I can say what letter it begins with.
Okay.
That'll be enough. Whisker, W. Okay. Lee says, I think it's fair to say there are many memories that evoke a cold, crippling, uneasy shudder. But as I grow older, I have learnt to, or at the very least pretend, I am now fine with these events. I think Homer Simpson once said, force the painful memories deep, deep down and release them all at once somewhere inappropriate. However, one distant memory causes such a spontaneously violent cringe that even years on, it still practically gives me whiplash. Are you sitting comfortably? Sorry, are you sitting uncomfortably? Then I will begin. My ex-partner lost both of his parents within the same year, by which I mean they both died, and he inherited a big house in the New Forest, which largely had not been touched since the 1970s. We made a plan. I would move and live full time in the house and spend a year renovating the property. He would come down weekly using his paid holiday to make long weekends of each visit. And after the work was completed, he would leave his job in London and we would both live in the property, blissfully happy forever. As it happened, as soon as the last nail was added, he sold the property and dumped me. But that's not for now.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
Isn't it? I realised that living in a detached house in a fairly remote location, whilst obviously being the drifter dream, was not ideal, as I could happily play the aloof hermit and see no one. My only human interactions in London were largely based on a geographic lack of being able to avoid people. I needed to get out there, shudder, and at the very least make a vague attempt to meet people. It was also important that in my time in the New Forest, I found some sort of paid part-time work. I met a nice woman called Jane and we went for a coffee. She was responsible for my first New Forest located awkward incident. Please forgive my Ronnie Corbett style digression. She invited me to a pub quiz in a country hotel. And when I arrived, an incredibly handsome man approached me and said, are you Lee? To which I said, yes. And he went on to say, Jane can't make it, so it's just going to be us. He didn't mean him, me and the rest of the quiz team. He meant just the two of us.
So weird.
I had to sit through a lengthy quiz, totally sober, as being in the New Forest, you had to drive everywhere, like I was on some sort of bizarre blind date. Jane had told me about a possible way to earn a little extra cash. She was a member of the local amateur dramatics group and they regularly perform murder mystery evenings at grand hotels in the area. She said you earned £35 for the evening and often got a huge slap-up meal in with the deal. Faced with the only part-time work in the area being a cashier in the local petrol station that was responsible for 80% of the local crime reports, I said I was interested. 2 days later, I received a call from a very stroppy, curt woman, think Sue Lawley, who was in a flap as she urgently needed a male actor for a murder mystery that was happening in 2 days' time. It was like I'd been headhunted by a Hollywood agent to save a production, and with my ego taking charge, I said, yes, I'm in. I immediately had visions of returning to London and saying casually, I'm renovating a house and I'm working part-time as an actor. The Sue Lawley woman and it said her husband would drop the script and costume round the following day. I asked her if we needed to get together to rehearse and she answered a curt no. It took approximately 20 seconds after the call for the wave of regret to hit and bury me. Was I seriously going to arrive at a fancy hotel and be a character? I wanted to cancel, but I didn't have her number, so I had no choice but to proceed. Suddenly, being held up by a fake gun for a box of Monster Munch at the local petrol station seemed delightful.
I'm really enjoying the writing on this
Me
one.
Too. Yeah. The following day, a very miserable, put-upon sort of man walked up my drive holding a large bag. It was Sue Lawley's hubby with my script and costume. My horror was ramped up even further as I read the brief script and realised my character was a French prince and the costume included a smoking jacket, a cravat and a cigarette holder. I was going to have to pretend to be French. The script said the story involved a collection of people trying to escape Nazi Germany and took place on a posh train. Sue Lawley had put a note in the bag, including the unfamiliar to me address with 7 p.m. sharp written in capitals and double underlined. I had no choice. My fate had been set and this French prince was going to make his acting debut. I felt sick, or je me sens malade, as I may now say. The entire day of the event, regrets stuck to me like treacle. Being the New Forest, I had to drive, which basically translates as I was to remain chillingly sober all evening. I set off and soon found the road the location was on. Somewhere in the distance, I saw a woman standing in a front garden, curiously wearing a wedding dress that was clearly too small for her. I drove nearer and thought little of it until I saw her joined by a man wearing a fly jacket, silk scarf and Biggles-style flight goggles. It then hit me with a force like I had witnessed a steamroller flattening a kitten. This wasn't taking place in a hotel with a grand cast and a fancy meal. There would be no £35. This was taking place in someone's home for, and inverted commas have never been so necessary, fun. I could do nothing. I couldn't just keep driving, as each character is integral to the plot. No prince, no murder mystery. I pulled up and exited my car with a heart so heavy it was in the arse of my slope smoking jacket. I was greeted by the wedding dress woman, screaming. I can barely type the next sentence as it makes me cringe so badly. Pray gather, everyone. Pray gather, everyone. His Highness the French Prince is here. The lawn was then filled with the rest of the cast that included a swarthy jewel dealer, a briefcase with plastic handcuffs attached to his wrist. He had taken to checking behind anything he came into contact with for jewel thieves. A female Russian millionaire who was clearly very drunk, by which I mean her character wasn't drunk, she was. Later, and out of character, she gave a charming rant about immigrants.
Oh, God.
Some sort of naval officer who I presume and hope was told in his character synopsis to be a sex pest. And Sue Lawley herself, who was wearing, and I suspected the entire evening was constructed so she could wear it, a very elaborate beaded flapper dress. The cast lined up and each treated me to an exaggerated deep bow. I glanced around the road and saw neighbours standing in front gardens with arms folded, looking at us disapprovingly, like we're about to kick off some sort of bizarre war-themed sex party. Sue Lawley disappeared inside and I heard her, out of character, yelling at someone, and soon her glum husband appeared, dressed as a train guard. He blew a whistle and with zero commitment or enthusiasm announced, "Please join the train, Your Highness. Lords and ladies, we're about to leave." What followed could really fill the whole podcast, so I will spare you. Highlights included me getting stuck in Sue's toilet due to a dodgy bolt lock and the proceedings being drawn out for 20 minutes by everyone, thinking it was part of the plot. And me not eating the meat starter as I'm veggie, and the wedding dress woman acting near hysterical, claiming, "The prince is trying to poison us all." I spent most of the early part of the evening praying I was going to be the corpse and found myself muttering under my breath, "You lucky sod," when the character was found dead. The evening went on well beyond midnight, and after the murder was exposed, the Englishwoman that played the Russian millionaire started her racist, drunken rant. "Shirley," explained the wedding dress lady, "show some respect. Technically, Lee here is an immigrant." A triumph. They actually thought I was French. On the drive home, I literally had to stop the car in a clearing and sink my head into the steering wheel to allow the horror of the evening to filter through me. The following day, Sue Lawley's hubby came to pick up the smoking jacket and asked if I enjoyed the evening. I hesitated and looked uncomfortable, and his beautiful response, delivered in a farmer-type accent, was, "Yeah, I know, son. It's a lot of whiskers."
Oh, that was wonderful.
Wasn't it?
I mean, I feel that that should be a podcast series in its own right.
I'd like to see a film.
That evening. Yeah, I mean, that would be great. But yeah. That evening told over 10 episodes. Yeah.
Yes, 10 episodes. Yeah. Yes, that's brilliant. It should be done. It has to be done.
Oh, it's so good. I'm in awe of that. Thank you. I think we'll leave those there. I mean, yep. We can't top that this week.
No.
Send us your story, please. hello@adriftpodcast.com. Annabelle?
Yes?
Let's have another way in which you're not a fully functioning adult.
So there have been a few office horror stories emailed in recently, one in particular involving a switchboard, which triggered a memory of one place I worked in between teaching English abroad and working in radio. So it was a foreign language school in London, which was weirdly in the most insanely nice building. It was on Piccadilly, like how the Ritz and the RAF Club and Fortnum and Masons and the Embassy of Japan are all on Piccadilly. But this is an English language school. And it was a building that could easily have been an embassy building. It was so grand. And the school wasn't just in the basement or just on one floor of the building. It had the whole grand building and a big outbuilding as well. It's only really occurring to me now how weird this is. At the time, it didn't really register. This is quite a bizarre situation, especially as this school is a not-for-profit school. Although I don't really see how it could have had any profit, considering how it must have been much it's been spending on rent. It has now moved, but to Covent Garden. So now it's just rubbing shoulders with the Royal Opera House and the Royal Ballet. But the whole building was ridiculous. It had a staircase that was like out of something, like out of something from Gone with the Wind.
Right.
There was green silk wallpaper, ornate ceilings, chandeliers, marble pillars, all slightly run down.
Right, obviously. Yeah.
And I started working there as a teacher, but I hated it. And I moved instead to be the staff room assistant. And I'm sure that I must have had official duties, but the only things I remember doing is before classes, reading everybody their horoscopes in the metro and then cornering someone and making them talk to me about Nasty Nick from Big Brother One. And then when everyone went to teach, I'd go down to the post room and chat to the guys working there. And then I'd go home at 3. And I feel like there must have been other stuff. But honestly, I spent a good half an hour thinking, what did I actually do? Yeah. And I just couldn't remember any of it. The only actual work that I recall vividly was the work I did when I was asked to cover reception. So I was asked one day to cover it because there's only one receptionist was in instead of the usual two and they wanted a lunch break. And I got shown first how to use the switchboard phone. It seemed pretty easy. Pretty sure I'd picked it up. But I was very, very wrong about that. And the whole hour was an actual hell with me jabbing at buttons, cutting people off. And then those same people repeatedly ringing back and trying to transfer them again and cutting them off again. And it was something from a nightmare. It was horrific and there was nobody to ask. And I think because it had been a whole hour of basically sabotaging this business, I just couldn't admit it when the receptionist came back from lunch. And I thought, well, that was a one-off anyway. I won't need to do it again. But then, of course, I got asked again. And by then, it was way too late to admit that I didn't know how to use the phones and I'd just been cutting everyone off. So in total, I had to cover 3 times and each time was a living nightmare. And eventually, I just stopped answering the phone. And I planned to say that there must be a fault on the line when I got found out. Never did, though. And it wasn't long after this that they moved from this incredible building. And I sometimes wonder if I cut off or neglected to answer the call of some major financial backer and having to slum it now in Covent Garden.
I've told you before about my friend Rick, who when he was at university lived in a shared house with a few different people. But one of them was this French guy who basically never left the house.
Oh, yeah.
And his friend tells a story of trying to ring, because this was back when people didn't have mobile phones, trying to ring Rick repeatedly over the course of a day and nobody answering the phone until eventually the phone is answered. And then they hear this exasperated voice just say, "Hello, I am French and in the house on my own," and then hung up again. And you know the way that story played out from the other end is this poor French person was terrified of having to speak English.
Yeah.
So was avoiding answering the phone.
Oh, bless.
Like you avoiding answering the phone for purposes of not being able to work the switchboard. Didn't you go back there to that workplace for something on the radio show once and nobody remembered you?
Yeah, no, I remember I went back and there was a lady who... She was kind of in, what was she in charge of? Like, she worked on reception. And I went back and I remembered her very, very, very vividly. And I worked there for 6 months or so. And I remembered her very well. And she had absolutely no memory of it at all. And I kept trying to like trigger it and she was like, nope. I thought, lie. Say, yes, vaguely you remember me. No, she just insisted she didn't know me.
But just think about it. You're at that time of your life where everything is vivid.
Yeah.
And 6 months like feel big to you.
Yeah.
She's been there presumably like
20 years or more.
At least 20 years.
Yeah, I suppose.
And you're just somebody who was there for a few months.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
I mean, it sounds like you were a disaster in certain ways.
You
so
think
that would
remember?
Make you memorable.
Yeah, yeah.
After we finish recording this podcast, but before you hear it, it will be the Adrift live stream for Patreon supporters.
Yes, you'll know whether it's a disaster or an incredible success.
I mean, that is if you're a Patreon supporter.
Of
if not, you'll never know.
Yeah.
But yeah, we are, because of the COVID restrictions, we did a lot of hand-wringing about it. And we decided it's a workplace, so it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But even in a workplace setting, we have to be a couple of meters apart. And to be able to be both on the webcam, we're going to have to go and do it at my kitchen table.
Yeah.
So I had to have an uncomfortable conversation with Sarah earlier, asking her if she'd just go and sit in the loft while we do that.
Oh.
And she's decided to take herself to the pub instead with a book.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it. That's mm-hmm. the next thing we're going to do after this.
And if people can't hear it live, will it be available to listen to?
Are they not
later
watching
on?
It? Are they watching it?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
I think so. I've never done one before, so I don't know if they get saved automatically.
Okay. Okay, we'll find
genuinely
out.
Genuinely have no idea. I tried to go live on YouTube, but it wouldn't let me.
Oh, did it say no?
You need 24 hours.
I don't know what you're
talking about. It's like buying a gun.
Too old.
Yeah. So we're doing it on something else instead. I think it might be called Crowdcast.
Okay.
So there's that. And then I was thinking about the next thing we need to get done is this laminated list.
Yes.
This chart
yes.
of things not to say to people about their job or, you know, other factors that could define them in laughing on the outside, dying on the inside. So do we have some more of those to add to the list?
Yes,
before
I do,
you
yeah.
get the laminator out?
Dan says, I work as an audiovisual technician, and if I was ever running a sound desk, I would be asked at least once or twice a week if I knew what every knob did. Of course I do. I've been doing this for over 10 years. Sometimes I would just say, not really, this is my first day. But mostly, I would just look at them blankly. Thankfully, most audio mixing desks are now digital and look far less complicated.
That's good. People always describe those things. It was them in the radio studio saying, oh, it's like the Starship Enterprise.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
No, it's not. It's not very different.
Royal Duchess Anna Brown. I'm a qualified librarian, by which I mean
Oh, that makes me so happy we've got a qualified librarian listening to the podcast.
By which I mean
No disrespect to the sound engineer, because it's what my best friend does for a living.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, I respect all our listeners, but doesn't it just warm the heart to hear that we've got a qualified librarian
very much so
tuned in?
By which I mean I have a relevant postgrad qualification. But my current job title is information specialist. I'm not even based in a library anymore, and I never even need to handle nor consult a book. When people ask what I do for a living, I'm faced with a dilemma. The reply, information specialist, necessitates a tedious and conversation-killing explanation of that meaningless phrase. So I sometimes spare the listener and use the alternative librarian, sacrificing another little bit of my sanity when they invariably respond, oh, you must really love books. Much as I would like to get paid to sit around reading novels all day, I've yet to find this ideal job, and instead my days are spent looking at medical databases, clinical trial reports, and journal articles.
What would you say to a librarian? My thought wasn't that it was going to be you must really love books.
I think we both say the same thing. Do you like going, shh?
Yes, you must really love shushing.
I wonder if anyone else says that to her. Oh. When I was studying at university, English, by the way, because I love books so much, my boyfriend at the time was an archaeology student, and he spent one summer on an archaeological dig. I remember him telling me that passers-by always said one of two things. Have you found any treasure yet? Archaeology is rarely that exciting, and you're normally looking for a change in the colour of the soil or something equally underwhelming. Or you can come and do my garden next. Ha, 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 sob, 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 sob.
See, my brain went a different way again there.
Oh, what was yours?
Like, have you found any dead bodies?
Dead bodies? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I wonder, maybe that's the other thing you said a lot.
Yeah, skeletons.
Oh, and this last one's from Anon. I am a weather forecaster. Go on, say it. Are you on the telly? Whenever anyone asks me what my job is, I tell them, I immediately get, oh, are you on the telly? No, because I'm a weather forecaster, not a weather presenter. Or sometimes, oh, should I have heard of you? No, not unless you're a member of one specific squadron on one specific Air Force base. Since my work involves forecasting for military aeroplanes, for a short time I tried saying I'm a weather forecaster for military aeroplanes, but then I reliably got, oh, are you in the military? No, I'm not. In the UK, military forecasting is primarily supplied by civilians. I then thought about trying, I'm a weather forecaster specialising in aviation, but that sounded a bit long and pretentious. So now I just say that I'm a civil servant, which I sort of like because I think it makes me sound like a spy rather than someone who spends 12 hours a day at a desk. In my work environment, where I am already known for being the forecaster, the other repetitive comment is, ooh, can you make the weather nice for my birthday, the weekend in Mallorca? I suppose this is the more genuine laughing on the outside because I laugh and say, I'll do my best while dying on the inside.
Wow. I enjoyed all of those.
Yes.
Very much indeed. Please, there is still a little bit of time to get yours in before Annabelle draws up a chart.
Yeah, it's happening soon, actually.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, yeah. It's on my list. It's getting close to the top.
Okay. Hello at adriftpodcast.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I noticed you'd like to add me to your professional network on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I went on LinkedIn this week and I hooked up with you and I've noticed, what's it been, 3 days now? Nothing.
Gonna do it now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, don't take it personally.
I can assure you I haven't. Yeah, I joined LinkedIn for the first time. It's quite exciting.
What's going on with you then?
Because I'm a businesswoman.
Well,
now.
I know you're a businesswoman. You're an entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur, businesswoman.
Get got.
Yeah.
Is the website.
Yep.
So what are you hoping that somebody will give you an exit strategy then?
I'm just connecting with some people, you know. What else are you supposed to say? I'm just trying to connect with some few people.
Hang on, notifications. You've not
How
withdrawn
many
it.
Got?
Oh, here we go. Annabelle Port viewed your profile.
Yeah, I had a look and see what you were up to first.
There we go. Can I just say, I think it's great that you're on here.
Right,
I think
right.
You need a photograph on there.
Yeah, that's coming. It's on my list.
It's important.
Yeah.
What I find peculiar...
No, what have I done?
No, it's because of how modest you are. But remember, being on LinkedIn to some extent is a hustle. Right. I'm on there because I'm hoping somebody will give me some money to do something.
Right.
I'm hoping somebody will defibrillate my career in some way.
Right.
But you describe yourself as editor at getgetgot.com.
Yeah. My website, yeah.
Like Steve Jobs wasn't describing himself as the person who went and did the conferences at Apple. You know, you are the founder.
Found, is that a better word?
Yes.
Founder.
Yes.
Okay, I'll change it.
Mark Zuckerberg isn't a coder at Facebook. He's the founder of Facebook.
Yeah, but I see it as this resource that I'm editing and putting together.
Yes,
and
but you know, you have started a business. You've had an idea.
Okay.
That idea is when you're starting something new, you get overwhelmed, you don't know what you need to buy, what you don't need to buy, and you want it all on a list in one place. That's a great idea. You've founded a website based on that idea and you're growing it outwards.
Is that what Steve
from baby
did,
stuff,
when Steve Jobs was on LinkedIn?
There was no LinkedIn.
Did he?
There was no LinkedIn
did
in
he,
those
he
days.
Did, wait.
They had to, you had to put cards, you had to have business cards.
Oh, okay, so what did it say on his business card? Founder.
Probably, yeah.
Okay, CEO.
The founder feels
CEO.
Quite... Yeah, CEO is fine.
You think I could do CEO?
I think founder is better.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to change it. Should I do it now?
No, yes, no, don't do it now because it'll be boring and you'll get distracted. But you've got to get a photo on there.
Photo founder, that's easy to remember. Next, come on.
Get got. So you've got your little cell of get got. That's good to know.
Okay.
But also... You want some words like engagement, traffic, things like that on there as well.
Right, okay.
What you need to do is, we have an old colleague called Clive Dickens.
Yeah.
Look at what he's wrote.
And copy on it.
Yeah, because, you know, he's okay. You know, he is human, but like a lot, he's like a cyborg. He lives on the internet as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's very good at these kinds of things.
Okay, founder photo.
It was him who made me go on LinkedIn.
It was, yeah. Founder photocopy Clive. Okay, anything else?
No, I'd write these down instead of just trying to remember them, like Donald Trump remembering man, person, camera, whatever it was.
Okay, I'll write it down.
We can talk about it afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay, what else? I went to the cinema.
Oh, yeah, I'm writing it down.
I can see.
This is what's the problem. It's taking time. Found a photo, copy Clive. Right, went to the cinema. What did you see?
It's called Kajillionaire.
Oh, yeah.
Really good.
That's what I'm going to be soon.
Not with the state of that LinkedIn page, you're not.
Good point, good point.
Like an angel investor is going to look at that and think, this woman doesn't mean business.
Okay.
What would Alan Sugar think if he saw that? I mean, I don't think he's ever been on the internet.
No.
Oh, no, he's on Twitter, isn't he?
Yeah.
Probably just Twitter, though.
Mm.
I don't know what he gets up to, obviously, because I'm blocked.
Yeah, are you? Yeah, of course you are. Yeah. Kajillionaire.
Kajillionaire. Oh, it's really good. It's Miranda July who did.
Oh, yeah.
She did a great film called You, Me, and Everyone We Know. And she also did a really good second film that I've forgotten the name of. But she talked in a cat voice in part of it, which I remember. Can't remember anything else that happened apart from the cat voice and thinking it was a good film. But this new one is, it's brilliant. It's so original. It's so funny. It's quirky. It's an indie, I'm going to say comedy because it is funny in parts, but it's, you know, I don't want to do it down by calling it a dramedy because often a dramedy is just somebody who couldn't be bothered to write enough jokes to make it a comedy, but it's like a really great, moving, interesting, unusual film that happens to be funny as well.
Okay.
So that's my recommendation. Weird going to the cinema.
Yeah, I mean, I've not been this year. Oh, no, I went in March. I've been once this year.
I went on the hottest day of the year in the summer.
Good for you. Was it
air conditioned? I thought, where can I go that's going to be dark and air conditioned? And it was the cinema. And of course, that was not long after they released relaxed the restrictions. So it was great. It was just me, I think, pretty much on my own watching Empire Strikes Back. Mm. This was surprisingly busy. Do you know what I'm doing at the moment? And it's not good.
Mm.
I'm looking at people when I'm out about, looking at people who are indoors. And thinking, you're not flatmates.
Oh, you're judging to see whether people are in their like household bubbles.
Yes.
I've not thought to do that. That sounds
fun. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's a great game. Okay.
I think you're from separate households and you've agreed to meet here.
Oh.
That's what I was getting up to in the cinema, but it didn't distract from the film. It was very good. Here's an odd thing. A friend of mine was telling me that they are applying... You know, they want the moving house and they found somewhere they want to rent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a digital application.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really stringent. And it involves one of the things that they ask includes, can you upload a recent selfie?
No. Why?
I have no idea. Do you not think that's bizarre? Like, so I think it's bizarre anyway that you would want to look at the people. Well, I mean, I just think it's strange. I do think it's strange.
I can't believe this is even allowed.
No, I can't. So I think it's strange, and you're right. It seems peculiar that it's allowed, that you would judge people on what they look like. But also the recent thing makes it even more peculiar. Like, we don't want a picture from 1998. We want to see how you've let yourself go in those years.
I'm irritated by the use of the word selfie as well. Why can't they just say photo? Yeah, why do they say right. selfie? It's annoying.
You're right. And then just one other thing. I know this is all scattergun, but I think I wanted to ask your advice on. Mm. I see a lot of houses on my street and in my neighbourhood with Black Lives Matter signs up in the window.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, it just didn't occur to me to make one at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, when the killing of George Floyd was this huge story. And I now feel it would be weird at this point to make a new sign.
Mm.
What do you think?
I think there is something a bit weird because it's sort of acknowledging that you didn't do it when everyone else
exactly,
did.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Almost like I've been peer pressured into it.
Yeah.
So I think it's good that people have these signs up.
But I think that in this kind of thing, better late than never applies.
Do you think so? You don't think people will just be thinking they don't mean it, they've just been shamed into it?
No, because it's so far down the line. I think if it was a week later, it looks a bit like that. But I think seeing as it's months later, it just looks a bit like, oh, I hadn't got around to it.
Great, okay.
Do it.
Well, as soon as I've done my ice bucket challenge, which I'm not likening the two things. I'm just being flippant.
Yeah.
Right, good. Thanks for helping me with that. Speaking of quandaries...
Yes.
Quandary Corner at the Glapp Clinic here in Problematic.
Okay, first one from Lauren. My boyfriend and I have a pandemic delivery-related quandary. Pre-COVID, we were both out of the house at work for the whole day, so taking in parcels for neighbours was never something we had to get involved in. However, I am now working from home and it's unlikely I will return to office life. My boyfriend has been shielding but will likely be working from home too. Here's where the quandary comes in. We now seem to be taking in more and more parcels for neighbours who are now back at work, and we're concerned that we're becoming our street's parcel depot. I know you've discussed the etiquette around parcel collection and drop-offs before, but is there a way we can stop being the depot to begin with? As we have been shielding due to COVID, we're still being extremely careful, but our neighbours are, shall we say, not keen on social distancing. My boyfriend suggested just not opening the door unless we're expecting something. But what if we have an unexpected delivery and then it goes to our neighbour? God forbid we then have to go and knock to pick up our own parcel from someone else. Is there any way we can stop this happening?
I don't know if there's a way you can just stop it like that. You could damage a few parcels and the people...
Because you can, for some companies, specify if you don't want a particular neighbour to pick it up, can't you?
What?
Yeah. There are some companies. When I'm trying to think of the one. I think it's either Hermes or DPD.
It's either Hermes or DPD.
It's one of them. Where you can say if you don't want it to be picked up by a certain neighbour. I think. Did I dream this?
So like when I had that toaster delivered.
Yeah.
And it just, somebody accepted it and I've never seen it.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is, if I suspected which house had that toaster,
I could
tell the delivery company.
Don't leave it with them.
Don't ever, yeah.
Which I think you should be able to do.
Yeah.
I know it's depressing, but they might be stealing it.
Yeah, but if you were sort of spilling stuff on the parcels and you could, when they come to pick it up, say, oh, sorry, I spilled some tea on it.
Lots of jam. Sorry. Jam on your fingers. Yeah, Sticky fingers.
Yeah. Sorry, I thought it was for me and I opened it.
Eventually.
Willful destruction. Word will get round.
Yeah, and everyone will be, you'll be on the blacklist. Or there's the old note on the door, which I did for a long time. I've stopped doing now. Where you have a note on the door saying, please leave parcel on doorstep, which means that your parcel gets left on the doorstep. You don't have to speak to anyone. And they're not going to leave someone else's parcel. They send it to someone else. That does work very well.
Great.
Okay. Should we go on to the next one then?
Tell you what, you don't see much of anymore. No hawkers or circulars signs.
No, I know. Yeah, let me see. I might shame. Get one. Comrade Jojo.
You don't really see hawkers so much though, do you?
No. Since our local municipal swimming pool has reopened, I have been going early morning swimming. The pool is a lovely Victorian swimming bath with cubicles around the side. Due to COVID distancing rules, there are a maximum of 15 people allowed in the pool at any 45-minute session. There are three lanes, slow, medium and fast. I tend to opt for the middle lane, as I don't want to appear showy-offy in the slow lane and I don't want to hold people back in the fast lane. There is a maximum of five people in each lane, so if I'm not one of the first in the water, I don't get my preferred lane. As I said above, I'm a relatively new swimmer to the morning sessions. Before the pandemic, I did lots of other activities, but hardly did much aquatic sports. Many of the swimmers are senior citizens and have been coming for years. A number of them stop in the shallow end for a chat with fellow swimmers. We aren't allowed to overtake, but other swimmers need to make way for someone coming up behind them to go in front of them at the next lap if that swimmer is going faster than them. My particular quandary is to do with when I come up behind a particularly slow swimmer and I'm repeatedly having to have them allow me to go first. At first I say, thank you. Then I say, me again. Then, may I? Then I'm back to, thank you. And so the cycle of conversation goes around again. This can be even more tricky when there are more than one slow-ish swimmers I have to go in front of. Now, I could go in the fast lane, but I only do breaststroke, apart from my final lap, which I managed to push out one lap of front crawl. But in the fast lane are mostly very determined front crawlers, and then I will be the one who has to be the gracious one to let people pass me. It is very much akin to the holding the door open scenario you've touched on before in Quandary Corner, Glacklin, etc. But this is water-based and has the potential of me seeing these same faces five times a week from 8 a.m. to 8:45 a.m. Should I say thank you every time, or is once enough for each session? I mean, could we be doing a polite smile?
Yeah, and there's kind of like, oop, sound you can make. You go, oop.
To me, it sounds exhausting. I mean, I'm exhausted by that. For every lap, you have to kind of do some kind of interaction.
Oops. Yeah.
What I would consider doing is getting blackout swimming goggles if they exist so they can't see your eyes.
Is there nothing you can put in your mouth, you know, like one of those breathing things?
Yeah, a breathing thing in the mouth. And can you get
a scuba thing, is it?
Can you get swimming headphones?
A snorkel.
You
a
must
snorkel.
Be able to get swimming headphones if you can't.
You can, but I just think it takes a certain type of person. I ultimately admire this type of person to be able to ignore other people just because they've got headphones in. And my wife can sit in the back of a taxi and put headphones in and not worry about looking rude to the driver. I can't do that.
Right.
And it'd be the same in the swimming pool, I guess.
Yeah.
Also, I'm imagining these waterproof headphones are quite discreet.
Oh, I always imagine them as being quite chunky. That's interesting.
Oh, and yellow.
Yeah.
Because they go in the water, they'd have to be yellow. Yeah.
I mean, it's not a very good idea. It's just a suggestion. So maybe just an eyebrow. Oh. What about if you say at the beginning, the first time, thank you, and for all the other times? No.
What about if you just stayed submerged? Just swam underwater.
Yes.
Swam through their legs.
Actually, that's the best idea of all.
Yeah.
I would do that.
Okay, there we go.
Brilliant.
That's that solved.
Yeah.
And that was our podcast. Thank you very much to you for listening. As ever, we appreciate you. You should feel appreciated. You should feel good about yourself. You really mean the world to us. Maybe not the world, but in your own little way, you're contributing to our self-esteem, I think, by listening to the podcast.
Yep.
Hope you get something out of it. We certainly do. Thanks. I don't know what any of that was. Why don't you interject sometimes if I'm embarrassing myself like that? Why don't you just stop? Remember years and years ago when we were doing the radio show, the managing director of the radio station said, you know, you should just stop him if you
I'm always very interested to see where it's going. Why would I stop something that like is becoming more?
What made
more
you think it was apparent it wasn't going anywhere?
But what I mean is, that's what makes it even more interesting. It's not going somewhere, so I'm wondering how you're going to try and rescue it.
But you're thinking of it all wrong. You're not a spectator watching something terrible unfold. You are the co-creator and co-host of this podcast, and it's becoming derailed, and you could prevent it.
But what if you...
You'd be like, it's like Superman.
No.
Just hovering there in midair.
No.
Thinking, oh, I'm going to watch this disaster.
I trust you to sort of bring it back. And but by interrupting it, I could have stopped something brilliant.
But you didn't.
No.
Anyway.
I'm going to work on that.
All right. thanks to Man in the Echo for the backing music, and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music. Carla Gowlett took the photos. Kim Rainey designed our artwork. And I will finish this week with my favourite quote from this week's episode, which is, "Je me sens malade." Shauna Winterbottom, how lovely to hear from the Duchess of Manchester, yes. Shauna Winterbottom, who says, "I'd like to request a podication this week, if possible, although I realise that's probably pushing it." But you managed it, didn't you?
You did it.
You rejigged a few things.
Yep.
In your bulldog clip.
I did.
Oh, remember the bulldog clip?
Aww.
"I was trying to find a way to tell some friends how important they are and how much they mean to me, and this seemed like the easiest and cheesiest way to do it. I've known them for probably 15 years and they've seen me through a lot of ups and downs. It's meant so much to me that in one form or another, they're always there when I just need to hear a friendly voice. Like everyone, this past year has definitely taken its toll on me, and with my job as an elementary school counsellor in a high needs urban area, it just seems to get more and more difficult. I know that you guys don't have school counsellors there, as you've mentioned before, but from talking to my teenage niece, I think it's like a pastoral care person."
Mm, nice.
We never had a pastoral care person at our school.
No, we didn't either. I find that weird that there is that doesn't exist here. Maybe it does now. It probably does.
Mm. We had a. Did you have a subject called VNS, Vocational and Social Studies?
No.
We did. I'm wondering if like that teacher. If there had been anything, would have been the one to go to. I've got that in my head for some reason.
Mm.
Can't remember the names now. It was two teachers. They split it between them. One had been a monk in a previous career.
Oh, really?
And then the other one we called Pearhead.
Oh.
And people used to taunt him terribly because he came to his job on a bicycle.
No, you're joking. Very ahead of his time.
I know, but I mean, it was just merciless.
That's
like,
terrible.
People would be the shouting out stuff about him riding a bike to
work.
There
was obviously nothing else to pick on.
No. Well, there was the fact that his head was shaped like a pear.
Right, well, that as well. Okay. There was that. Okay.
But yeah, I think he had bicycle clips for his trousers, which obviously was like widely ridiculed for.
Oh, okay, of course.
And yeah. I think some of the kids one day unscrewed all the bits of his bike, so when he got on it, it fell to pieces.
Terrible.
Oh, it was awful. I tell my wife stories like this, and I don't know if it's an American thing or it's just our school, but I think it all seems unthinkable that kids would treat a teacher like that.
Does that thing not happen so much in America then?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Although if you think about the Breakfast Club, they really tormented that guy, didn't they?
Yeah.
And he wasn't, I don't think he was a really, I don't think his personality type was right to be a teacher.
No.
Not Pearhead, I'm
no,
sure
no,
he's
no,
fine.
No, yeah.
But, anyway, says Shauna. "Some days I feel so weighed down by things I know my student know about. Some days I feel so weighed down by the things I know about my students that I can barely get myself psyched up for being the emotional support for a whole school and their families. By the time I've had half a week of hearing about the things that my staff, students, and their families deal with, I find myself seriously questioning why anybody goes into this type of work."
Oh, wow.
I mean, I think about that. I think about therapists and people doing this type of work and doctors.
Mm.
Just how draining a day must be.
Yes.
You're carrying the weight of other people's emotional struggles and burdens. It's admirable. I don't know that I could do it. I salute you, Shauna. She says, "Then I get in my car, plug in my phone, and realise that it's Wednesday and that I have a new podcast to listen to from Jeff and Annabelle. See, I told you it was cheesy." "These two familiar voices..." Oh, I've just realised. I've just realised what's going on.
Yeah.
I've been hoodwinked.
Yeah.
I was wondering who these friends were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now it's us.
Yeah, I think... On second skim, I realised and I thought, well... Go on then.
We deserve
go on
it.
Then.
As I've said, I've not been having a great time with things at the minute.
Here
so this
we
is,
go.
This is
here
nice. This is nice. Oh, she says, oh, I don't know. Now I'm going to, it's going to set me off. But
do you want me to read it?
Well, I'm reading, you know, I'm reading it, but I don't know if it, you know, she writes some very nice things and I'm quite touched by them. And she says, I'm certain I'm not the only one whose heavy heart lightens just a bit when I know it's time to hear more stories about you and about the Drifters, read hilariously by Annabelle. Oh, it's very nice, Shauna. I can't read all of it because it'll set me off. But,
okay.
I really appreciate you taking the time to write that. It's a lovely thing.
Yeah.
Well, where do we go from here?
Live show.
Downstairs to the kitchen. I need to pull it together by then.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to listen to some techno music to get myself psyched up.
I got some apple fruits, don't worry.
You have?
Yeah.
Made to make your mouth water.
Exactly.
Great. All right, Shauna. Thank you. Now I feel like I've been banging on too much on the podcast about what a time of it I'm having.
Nope.
I need to bottle it up. No.
Yeah, but I'm sure that Shauna would agree. What he needs to be doing is bottling it up.
Oh, it's going to get better though, isn't it?
Of course.
As a quote attributed to, but not necessarily by John Lennon says, it'll be all right in the end. If it's not all right, it's not the end.
There you go.
Yeah. So there you go. Latest edition of the podcast, podicated to us. Aren't we great? And if you would like, thank you, Shauna. If you'd like a podication, you can email us hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.